We have a culture. The Crusade Channel is a part of that culture. Reconquest with Brother Andre Marie is part of that culture. There is culture on that show. There's cultivation. The Barrett Brief is part of that culture. There is cultivation going on there. Joe and Joe, Pasillo and Resinello are part of that culture. When the St. Maximilian Kolbe Center makes a 17-part video series on creation and puts it out on DVD with top-of-the-line animation and voiceovers and, you know, the interviews and the facts is beautifully put together. That's part of a culture. When a movie is made that doesn't insult God's laws and goes into actual circulation, that's part of a culture. Stop saying that they have the culture, their culture. Okay, well, then don't participate in their culture then. If you stop participating in it, then it's their culture. It's not yours. This is another one of these things. This all goes back to this surrender caucus defeatist notion. Then you got to win everything or you win nothing. When books are published and we look at them and go like, oh, that's a good book. I'd like to read that. Okay, well, that's part of our culture then. Yeah, but that book over there, that says that this. Okay, well, then don't read it. Bring back the index. From the halcyon days of Christendom, say, well, we put that book on the index. Okay, fantastic. That won't be in our library or in our schools. Your book banners. Error doesn't have any rights in the public square, sir. So stop saying that we don't have and that they want. They have not won, and we do have a culture. If you choose to acknowledge it, here, a couple things we'll get into after we spend a little time chatting with Miss Gress. Anthony Esselin, or Esselin, imaginativeconservative.org. We no longer make boys into men. This is true. In many instances, we make boys into adult soy boys. And the reason for that is, well, there's a lot of reasons for that. We'll get into it when we discuss the piece. Crisis Magazine, Robert Grieving, One Mass, One People. And this is a piece about here this idea or this notion that there is something customizable about the practice of, if you're a Catholic, of saying the Mass. Now, there are parts, the homily, for example, in the entrance and exit hymn, where and maybe the offertory, where you do have something that you can insert, but that's about the extent of it. That's not enough for some people. Why did you print something out from Dreher, Mrs. O'Connell? You can't stand him. I can't stand him.
I really don't like him, but he does make a good point in one or two
Do we have
paragraphs.
To use his name? Can we just say someone
I
else?
I fell on my own sword and read the whole article for you, okay?
I agree with Dr. John Rao. Man, I got to tell you guys, this Rod Dreher guy's got to be stopped. We got to stop this guy. Now, this warped view of what a Benedict option is, if there even is such a thing from St. Benedict. Oh, I want a Benedict option. Oh, so you want to quit? I didn't say that. Yeah, you did. All right. We'll talk about all this. I want to talk about something that is really happening out there, and it really poses a great question. Can men and women of goodwill remain in league with and utilize the tech giant infrastructure that has been built, talking about social media giants for the most part, although Google Fang does play into this. Can the tech giant, or can you continue to utilize their infrastructure? And even if you do, Even if you have really good, maybe you went got religious counseling from a priest and went, yes, you can, but, you know, here's the ground rules or whatever. What if they tell you we don't want to fraternize with you anymore? We looked at what you were using and what you were doing, and we went, eh, we're not going to let you do that. Yeah, you can't, not on our stuff here. This is a question here that whether we like it or not is going to be asked, and it's probably going to be answered by them. Now, the demons are ascended. They're comfort the children. They won't take no for an answer. They've identified, the bad guys have identified the enemy. They know who the enemy is. There's no doubt in their mind who the enemy is. And the enemy is the mother of our Redeemer. She is the enemy because we are told in Holy Scripture it is her heel that will crush that serpent's head, and the demons know it. Is it any coincidence then that in the cult of death's ascendancy that they would wage war against her? That's what I see happening here. Carrie Gress is an old dear friend, the author of too many works to mention here. I'll give you a couple. The Marian Option, the Anti-Mary, the Marian Option for Children, the Theology of Home, Volume 1, Theology of Home, Volume 2, all available in our store at the Founders Trading Post. And Carrie is on the Dude Maker hotline here with us on a Monday because I'll let her tell you the story of what happened to her yesterday, I believe, and her book, The Anti-Mary, on Instagram and on Facebook. First of all, a blessed 2021 to you and yours, Carrie.
Well, thank you. Right back at you. So great to talk to you this year.
Always good to talk to you. Always, always, always. My candle maker and queen. My candle maker, the candle maker to the king here, to the king dude. By the way, Mitty's church just raves every time she gets one of your candles. I know you sent her one as a gift, as a thank you, and it was a joyous occasion. I had to tell you, she's like, I got a candle, from Carrie.
Oh, that's so great. So, yeah, no, it's been such a fun project because it really does just bring joy to people. Like, no one gets upset, like, oh, I got this really yummy smelling candle. You know, there's always something fun about it, I think. So, yeah, it's been a fun endeavor to really balance out, I think, some of the darker stuff that I'm working on, like the current situation with the Anti-Mary.
Now, you know, you sent me a an article from a publication, I can't remember, but it was back in October or November, and I wrote you back about your friend had written this, and I wrote you back and I said, well, you know, if Trump loses, then this is the future. Well, now Trump has lost, and your friend's column, your friend's essay has now come true in your life.
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't expect this to happen so quickly, partially because, I've been sort of, I know I need to write something about our vice president now, and I've been putting that off because it's really hard to dig into this stuff. It's so painful. So I was thoroughly expecting to get some retaliation once I published articles on the vice president. But yeah, I certainly didn't expect it to happen this week. But yeah, I've been banned from the marketplace of both Facebook and Instagram. So people can't sell my products there. And what happened was a gift shop called Guadalupe Gifts in Florida tried to post my products there. And they got a reply saying that the book was not in compliance with their sales policy. So they're trying to appeal it to find out more what's behind it. If there was something that was flagged or whatnot, who knows? We'll see what the explanation was. But, you know, it's not a new book. It's been out for 2 years.
That's so right.
The timing is very curious, and it'll be interesting to see what their explanation is, and to see if it spreads, too, as well as other places.
Now, they cut you straight up off of Instagram, right? Your product's been removed.
Yeah, you can't sell the Anti-Mary on Instagram anymore or Facebook, either place. So, yeah, and even last night I was showing, you know, people have been so gracious and so supportive and have been buying the book, and it just shot up, of course, on Amazon. Last night it was number 12 on Feminist Theory, and I think right now it's number 2. But Amazon's run out of the book, actually. So,
yay.
So that's great.
I have copies.
Yes, and so do I. So I think it's heartening to see that people are responding in a great way to this and buying the book. But it certainly doesn't bode well. You know, mine's probably the first larger title. A lot of people are coming out of the woodwork and showing me pieces of art or other things that are also being refused from those marketplaces. So it's, I think we're just have to get used to it and need to be a little bit more nimble and figure out how to deal with it. And also, you know, basic things like I know when I started Theology of Home, I had a veteran in the industry say, you know, set up subscriptions, because if you get deplatformed, that's all you've got. That's the only way you have to keep in touch with your readers. And so that's what we did with Theology of Home. I know people find it annoying being asked to sign up and subscribe, but this is really an insurance policy for all of us just to be able to maintain these relationships. If you know, and it's a big supply chain now too, because of all of the different apps and all of the different platforms that are being used for one website. If any, you know, say MailChimp throws us off, then there's a whole domino effect. So I think that's something that we all have to be mindful of too.
So,
you know, going back to the good old-fashioned newsletters, is probably going to happen.
Now, Carrie, I have to ask the question as an inquisitor here and as someone that wants people to think critically about this and analyze this and use this as maybe Christ would have us use it. There's a possibility that there's a silver lining here. This is the Immaculate Heart going, like, I don't want you doing business with these diabolical bastards. Mm-hmm. Maybe?
Yeah, no, I think there's all of that going on. I'm actually doing a huge presentation Thursday and Friday night with Jeanette Benkovic's Women of Grace group on the anti-Mary. And, you know, I haven't talked about this in a long time, and I had all this new information. And so I think it's driving that. I think that it's getting the book into people's hands. I think there's all kinds of silver linings to it. But the big thing is just even to ask the question, you know, why this book? And the reason is it's the playbook. This is explaining in very simple language how they're destroying the culture.
Now,
and that's why it's being targeted.
Okay, Theology of Home on the website, yeah, you sent me this article, and I responded to you. Do you remember back in December by Noelle Marin?
Uh-huh, yep.
Okay, now, and her title is, this is a provocative title, Can Christians Go Woke? Now, my answer to that is, well, they can, but then they won't be Christians anymore. So, her deep dive into this was, she didn't really answer the question. She kind of left it open, like, I don't know what's going to happen, but you better be prepared for your neighbor that was an anti-Mary fan going all woke on you, going like, I don't like your book anymore. You're just wrong now. And now, from where you sit, from what you're hearing, has this begun to happen? Are Christians, are Catholics around you going woke?
You know, I think there are a lot of Catholics around me already that are woke. I think that that's really the problem, and it's already seeded deeply. And people don't, you know, you hear so much about people being so exhausted and exacerbated by Trump's rhetoric. Well, that's going to be a walk in the park compared to what we're already seeing and what's going to keep happening. Like, it's going to be like a splinter in terms of just your own frustrations and irritations and suffering compared to what's coming down the pike. And I don't think that that's what people thought or are thinking through. I think it's just sort of a knee-jerk reaction that I don't like this guy, and so Biden's got to be better. And so I think this is, it's already among us in very dramatic ways. Most people on my Instagram, my personal account, wouldn't say things, but I know people are saying things at our Theology of Home account that they're not saying to me. And so that's interesting. We have a much bigger following there on Instagram as well. But Noelle actually has a book coming out on this topic.
Oh, she does?
In May.
Oh, she does. Okay.
Yeah, it's in the pipeline. It's coming out in May, and it's amazing. It's so good because it basically, I mean, it's a guide that Christians have been looking for to help us navigate it and understand it. And she really lines it up with understanding how the woke culture is basically anti-Trinitarian, that all the marks of the woke culture are the antithesis of the Trinity. So anyway, it's an amazing book, and I can hardly wait for it to come out and be you know, help people, because she just really lays out in such a clear way that, you know, there's not, you're not left feeling confused about the topic anymore.
Yeah, but the author Carrie Gress is on our Dude Maker hotline with us here, ladies and gentlemen, if you're wondering. Her book, The Anti-Mary, is available in the Founders Trading Post. It may be sold out. I don't know. I don't remember how many copies we have, but well, we'll get more. The Anti-Mary really is, I mean, it is all about, I mean, the Anti-Mary is Kamala Harris. She is the Anti-Mary.
No, she is. And I think that that's what's so incredible was, you know, I wrote this book. It was published almost 2 years ago now. And at that point, when I first started writing it, you know, Hillary was running for president. And so it was easy to sort of see that, see her as the anti-Mary. But now I think that, you know, the script sort of writes itself in terms of just, here's this woman clearly not qualified for this position, you know, just even watching how she gained access to this, and the fact that she's applauded merely because she is a woman. I mean, if that's, you know, just turning feminism on its head, like, whatever happened to merit, whatever happened to character, whatever happened to all of these elements, and instead it's just been reduced absolutely to biology and emotions as well. So it's going to be really sad when or if, probably when, not if, when she becomes president, because she's just a scary, scary individual that I think is going to open up really a Pandora's box on a lot of things.
Well, I don't.
A lot of those things are already happening.
I was going to say, I don't think you have to wait.
It can only get worse.
I think it'll only get worse. I'll just tell you, I would just share with you so you don't have, you don't hear from someone else, because you know that guy that you talked to is a raving lunatic, right? You know he's crazy. So I'm just going to tell you what my position in our editorial policy here is on the Crusade Channel. Because the office was gained illicitly, immorally, and through theft and deceit. He's not, we do not call him P-R-E-S-I-D-E-N-T. He is the leader of the Biden regime. My 13 years or 14 years as a Constitution historian, and I've written a couple of movies about this. I've interviewed every person that's worth interviewing and talked to them on the subject of the Constitution. Our understanding, my understanding of when the Constitution was written and ratified of what a natural-born citizen is, completely disqualifies Harris. She is the Manchurian candidate. She is of communist stock. She is of diabolic Indian and diabolic communist stock, and she's not eligible. So this regime, to me, is completely illegitimate. It is a regime. Now, having said that, I recognize and I realize that I'm in a vast minority at 99.999. You just take your nine out 30 decibels or 30 decimal places in a vast minority. But I think something has happened, and I'm asking people that I know and I love and respect, like you, the question. I think something happened. Something clicked with this theft. That did not click before, and it's driving many people to go like, okay, there's got to be another way. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. Would you agree?
No, I think you're right. I think people are paying attention, and maybe that was, you know, a tiny, tiny silver lining was just the fact that it was so clear. You know, there's so much evidence, you know, from election night on, and just even the sweeping under the carpet, the gaslighting, you know, all of that, the normalization of it. I think there's all of that. And but I think it definitely goes back to just the control that the media has on us. And, you know, actually for decades, it's interesting to see how long this has been brewing. In fact, I had a spiritual director, saintly man, Father Flanagan, who actually founded SALT, just an amazing soul in every way. But I remember him telling me, you know, it's the media, the grip the media has. And at the time, I sort of poo-pooed it. And now, you know, he's certainly passed away, but it just rings truer than ever. And I think that we even need to start praying for the media, you know, ardently. This is something that I've thought about, you know, remember when the Pope was elected and everybody was sort of assigned a different cardinal to pray for. I thought, why can't we do something like that for the media? So, of course, I haven't done it yet. I don't know how to do it, but it's such an important work, and they're so blinded, Just clearly, there's just no grace there. And I think that we have an opportunity to pray for them, obviously, in addition to the politicians, but that they're the gatekeepers on all this content.
Well, the amazing thing to me is this massive world, this network, if you will, has been created, and it only took 15 years. I mean, let's give it 2 decades. It took 20 years. It only took 15 years of those 20, though, for it to become ascendant and powerful enough to where it is actually a menace. And I'm talking about, of course, the giant tech companies, which are made powerful by the fact that we're all trucking around with the smartphone devices, and then we have these addictions to instant gratification and instant satisfaction. These things are not, they're not even normal. That's, that's not, there's an author that I know you would love reading this. Her name is Alana Newhouse. She writes at a Jewish tabloid called The Tablet. And she wrote a piece last week, Carrie. I'll send it to you. You would love this. You'll read it and you'll be nodding your head up and down. Especially Mr. Gress will be not Mr. Philosopher. He'll be reading it going like, she's right. She's right. It's called Everything is Broken. And she, the thing that she's done that no one else has even attempted to do, and she did it really, really easy to understand verbiage, is that she's broken down that these things that we are now doing every day and apparently seem to have become comfortable with doing them, these things are not normal. It is not normal for people to be attached to, and in order to survive, they have to have this instant gratification that is available on or via social media. And that you have to have this approval almost, or it she just goes through it. It's just everything is broken. She starts the story with the fact that she knew when her first child was born, her baby boy, she knew there was something wrong with him. But the doctors all kept telling him, nah, he's perfectly fine. He passed the Apgar test. It took her and her husband 3 years before they finally found a doctor that did not work in a university or massive system that was an independent kind of family practitioner doctor, until they finally got their boy to him, and he looked at him and go like, who told you that there was nothing wrong with this child? And they finally, she doesn't get into what's wrong with him, but she starts her story off with, they lied to me, or they're so incompetent at this level, they don't even know the medical system is completely broken, because the only thing that it knows how to do now is dispense drugs and therapy treatments. And then when those therapy treatments and drugs create dependency or other problems, then it dispenses a new regime. That is a broken system, right?
Yeah. No, without a doubt. Absolutely. It's the poison or cut method.
That's it.
Sure.
That's it. So, okay, a final question or two, and then I will let you get back to raising that. How's the baby boy?
Oh, he's great. He's almost one, unbelievably.
Wow!
Yeah, I know. It's been a quick year, but yeah, growing up beautifully.
Okay, well, that's good. Okay. yesterday was the Feast of St. Timothy, and of course, I'm reading Dom Crosford Garanger. I'm reading all about St. Timothy. And then before I even made contact with you yesterday, you were already on my mind, because I'm reading about St. Timothy as the first bishop of the church of the cathedral in the church of Ephesus. And then Don Prosper says we have extant evidence that not only was it the bishop, but that Our Lady visited that church. And I'm going, I wonder if Carrie knew that.
Wow, that's amazing. I don't think I knew that.
So
beautiful.
Yeah, so St. Timothy, and mm-hmm. he was martyred, okay, as an apostle. Mm-hmm. St. Timothy, Our Lady went to Ephesus. That's how she becomes Our Lady of Ephesus. But she went to St. Timothy's church that he was the bishop of. That was one thing. And I thought about you in the instance, and I'm going back through, and I'm trying to remember whether or not in the introduction, the first two chapters in the Marian option, if you covered that, because you cover a lot of Mary history. Mm-hmm. But then I had the thought, and I was thinking, because it was my daughter's birthday on Saturday, my twin daughters, and I was thinking like, okay, I know Our Lady's always got the kids under her mantle. I named one daughter Reagan Marie, so her middle name is Mary, obviously. But the second one, Madison May. Then I started thinking about it. Wait a minute. And of course, I had no idea of this at the time. May is, of course, the month of Our Lady. So there's the stamp right there. See what you've done to me? You put this Marian option thing in my head, and now everywhere I look, I see her. So
there it is. That's awesome.
There she is. Everywhere I go.
Yeah. Oh, that's so amazing. Well, I've been spending a lot of time thinking about her with flowers lately, and that's the other incredible thing is just how connected to so many flowers, you know, marigolds, and the list is just so long, and really beautiful too. I think it's so compelling. I mean, obviously roses is another one. But yeah, just to see how much our forebears really honored her in all of these material ways. So beautiful and compelling when you start sort of dusting off the.
Yeah. And of course, you know, they found that papyrus, that silence says you Catholics just made this Marian idolatry up in the 12th century or whatever. No, the Subtuum was written in the 2nd century. So go pound sand. And you should come over on our side, and you should love her because she's awesome to have as a best friend. But my final question to you is about the anti-Mary. And it was only a matter of time before they came after you and came after her. But really, doesn't this just show us, Carrie, that the bad guys know who the real enemy is? That attack on that book and the title of it just shows that they – don't you think that that's almost like a blessing that God's going like, hey, the battle is joined. They figured out. They know who the enemy is.
Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, it's just so ironic in light of the fact that the whole book is talking about how the enemy – they're silencing us. And they want to silence us. And so sure enough, you know, they're making my point for me. But no, I think absolutely. I mean, it's not like it was some New York Times bestseller that people would have had on their radar. Protestants certainly don't pay attention to it because of the Mary element. And yet, like I said, it's their playbook. It's what they're using to control women. And then by extension, pushing the LGBT movement. It's the exact same ideology that in between those two layers of ideology that we're living with. So, yeah, I think it's fascinating that it even showed up on anybody's radar, much less actually was banned. But, I who knew I was such a dangerous author?
That's what I'm going to. I'm like, it's not like she made the NYT bestseller list with this book.
Right. No, not at all. Yeah, and it even got... It's been such a grassroots book. I mean, so many women come to me and tell me they've read it and it's changed their lives. And lesbians have left the lifestyle. So many people have been touched by it. But it certainly didn't get great acclaim, even among Catholic media or you know, Catholic publicity. So it's fascinating to me, just to see that this little book has been plucked out of obscurity because of this playbook that's in it.
Well, and when she says that the playbook is kind of in the final chapters, there's devotions and stuff that and practices that you can do. The interesting thing to me is that Marian devotion to the Mother of Christ is bisexual. When I say bisexual, or should I say pansexual, male, female, it doesn't matter. She doesn't care. It's irrelevant to her, apparently. And you need to know that going in, that just like any good mother, like you've got a brood now. Wait, are you up 5 or 6?
Five
kids. Five children are going to call you mother, and they're going to, and you will be a good mother to them, and they will always look up to you and call you mother, and they will go to you for certain things, and they won't go to your husband. They'll go around him, and they go like, all right, I'm going to go ask mom first because she'll go to dad and go like, such what's name your child here really wants to do something, but and then he'll raise the objection. You'll go, yeah, but if you thought about, so they will do what Marian devotees always knew that you could do with to Our Lady. And the interesting thing to me, or do with Our Lady, and that is ask her, yes, you can go direct to Christ. No Catholic will ever tell you that you can't go directly to Christ or to God. That's never been the point. I've never said it. Carrie's never said it. No saint that I know of, Saint Therese, never said it. But you go to the intercessor so that you go to someone that has the ear and has the love and respect of who you're going to, and you go to her as kind of as your go between. You know, the amazing thing to me is, and I've always thought this, well, that kind of bears itself out in real life. Why is it so hard to understand?
Yeah. And I think it seems like that this is confusing because people want it to be either or and not a both and. And that's, I think, where people, they get tripped up that, you know, if I'm giving all this reverence to Our Lady, then surely I must less love Jesus less, which is another absurdity. But unless we really talk these things out and discuss them, I think people just get kind of stuck mentally on these different hangups. So, absolutely. And I would also add, too, that I've all, you know, there's been a ton of men who've read this book and they're like, finally, you know, someone is saying this. In fact, I had this guy on Instagram. He's got, you know, 500,000 followers and he's a big bodybuilder. And he promoted it. He's like, finally, someone is saying that, you know, women can do wrong in our culture. And that's, you know, pointing it out. And the next thing I knew, he's, you know, using my language of the matriarchy and his reels and whatnot. So the influence is getting out there. And I think it's offering people a way to kind of think about these things in their head in a different way, rather than just feeling helpless and like they don't have any recourse dealing with this issue.
And look at the women rulers of the latter half of the 20th century and now into the 21st century. All the anti-Marys are barren, childless, Wiccan-worshipping wenches. Markala.
Well, there you have it.
Kamala, Markala. What was the other wench in, what's her name from the UK? Theresa May's. Name them. They follow the same pattern. They absolutely are completely anti-Marys.
No, and I think this is, you know, it's spreading, too. Even just watching the videos of what happened in Argentina after the legalization of abortion with all these horrific women. And Poland, too, is now experiencing it in ways that they haven't before. In fact, I was just chatting with somebody about trying to get one of my articles translated into Polish press because it's coming. So, yeah, this is only getting worse. And so we need to figure out what they're doing. And then, obviously, you know, the real solution, of course, goes back to my book, The Marian Option, and, you know, the rosary and the Eucharist and, you know, all of these things that she's had us do over and over again, pray and fast. It's not complicated, but...
No, it's not.
It's hard.
Well, I think it is a positive development, and it shows that, number one, the battle is joined. People maybe that didn't think the battle is joined. Battle is joined, folks. They're coming. They're coming. They're not going to take no for an answer. That's number one. Number two, they've identified the correct target. It is the Catholic Church, of course, but they know that their enemy, she that's going to whose heel will crush their head, is Our Lady, is Mary. So they've identified the enemy, and they're coming after it and the church. So, folks, ladies and gentlemen, get in the battle, and that is for all Christian men and women of goodwill, whether you're Catholic or not, whether you have a rosary or not. I know people that aren't Catholics out there. We sell them rosaries all the time, and they tell us. They tell Mrs. O'Connell, who runs the Little Bayou Rosary, I'm not a Catholic, but I love your rosaries. And they actually learn how to pray it, and they take great solace in praying the rosary. It's a powerful, powerful weapon, and don't be afraid to wield it, folks. But you know, when you see an attack, and you see the enemy clearly defining and going like, I mean, as my wife, Mrs. Church, said, what threat is Carrie Gress to Facebook? What? How could she possibly pose a threat to anyone? And I don't mean that dismissively. I mean, but you're like me. You're like me. You're an undiscovered gem.
Well, yeah. No, I'm a very happy housewife and stay-at-home mom. And yeah, it's actually pretty funny.
Okay.
But the truth is scary for people. So.
It is. So Theology of Home are great books for you ladies that are homemakers or wannabe. Now, there are a lot of women that have contacted us personally and privately have told us after reading the Marian Option and then after reading Theology of Home that they really just want out. They don't mm-hmm. want, you know, they don't want to go mm-hmm. back to work. They want to stay at home. They wanted to have that practice, that theology of home. And, mm-hmm. Many of these women just have husbands that are non-cooperative right now. We're going to be praying for all this mm-hmm. because that's the future. Whether we like it or not, you're going back to the theology of home. You're going to do it, mm-hmm. you know, whether you do it now and you plan it or whether it's forced upon you.
Yeah. Well, and I think that that's one of the things that people love about theology of home is we're actually talking about women as women, not women in comparison to men, not women who are being told that they have to be powerful and in control,
right?
But women who are fruitful. And I think these, you know, it's sort of like dew on a desert. You know, people haven't heard it in so long, and they're like, this is amazing. And it's old. You know, I'm not saying anything new. I'm just repackaging it in a way that people are drawn into. But there's nothing that I'm saying that's new. And it's so beautiful, and it's so compelling when you start really looking at what the vocation of womanhood is and what we actually do and are, rather than sort of this constant competition with men and the world. So it's amazing.
That's a good way to end it. She is Carrie Gress, and the book is The Anti-Mary, of course, Theology of Home, the first one, Theology of Home, too. We have all of these in our bookstore at the Founders Trading Post. We have the Marian Option, and we have the Marian Option for Children as well. Stay in touch as always a pleasure. I think that you are firmly under the mantle of Our Lady, which doesn't mean you're not going to be tormented, but you have the greatest rescue outfit in the history of Christianity. You have the greatest rescue team at your back, so I wouldn't worry about it. Like St. Pio, Sirius Ralph Sarchi and me coming out. Don't you dare call him Padre Pio. He's a saint. Call him St. Pio. As St. Pio said, pray, hope, and don't worry.
So, amen.
All right, Carrie.
Well, thanks so much. Always a pleasure.
On this side, too, thank you. Our best to your husband, as always, and your great family. And I hope to talk to you about a scurrilous attack imminent here. because that means that the enemy is on the move and they're scared. So when they start isolating, Carrie Gress is their target. They are scared. They are terrified of what's coming. All right, Carrie, thank you, as always.
Thank you, Mike. All right, God bless.
Okay, God bless you, too. So now, folks, just think about that. Now, I don't mean to demean Carrie, and she knows that I'm not demeaning her. She's not a best-selling author. She should be, but she's not. So why is she a threat? Who in the world spends their time because, you know, your Facebook, you're selling this book about anti-Mary, and it's insulting to us women that are workers and aborters. It's insulting to us who are childless, barren, and in the practice of conceiving children out of wedlock and killing them. That's your argument. I'm serious. That's their argument. The enemy has been identified. That's your argument. I'm serious. That's their argument. The enemy has been identified.